Okay, welcome to 2014. I don't know what that looks like to you. It seemed like it was just a couple weeks ago we were saying welcome to 2013. Now we're almost half gone with the month of January already, and time just continues to fly by. For this year, we've chosen the theme of God's people working together from the book of Nehemiah. Children, any of you think you know what this picture is? The Great Wall of China. That's a good guess, Trina, but it's not quite that. Somebody else? Okay, the Weeping Wall? Wailing Wall? No? Getting closer. You're at the right spot on the earth. This is the Wall of Jerusalem. When you look at that wall, a lot of things can go through your mind. I don't know how many times that wall was built and broken down. But suppose that you were in a land far, far away. Your travel was very limited as far as resources. Your feet or horse's feet or camel's feet. Donkey's feet was about the extent of what you could expect. And you had heard that the wall was broken down. This was your home, but you were far away. You heard the wall was broken down, and in your mind you pictured the wall, and you thought, I guess the wall's broken down. Not much I can do about it. But Nehemiah didn't look at it that way. Nehemiah began to pray, and I was challenged, and I appreciate, Scott, what you shared with us, that you're going to take time the first while there to fast and pray and seek the Lord. I think that's an excellent move, an excellent choice. That's what Nehemiah began to do. He began to seek the Lord, and his heart became heavy, and the king noticed one day, and he said, Nehemiah, said, you're sad. Something's wrong. He said, I know it's not sickness. There's something on your heart. Pretty observing for a king. Some of those kings were pretty ruthless, and feelings didn't have too much a part of their lives. But he noticed that. And Nehemiah, the king said, what would you like? And Nehemiah was scared. Because he had a good reason to be scared. Because if you touched the king the wrong way in those days, it was the end. You didn't have a second chance. But God was at work. And God touched the king's heart. And God put it in the king's heart to give to Nehemiah whatever he asked. And Nehemiah said, King, could I have a long vacation? The king said, you can. And he said, King, could you send letters with me so that I can show them to the people on my way back to my city, the governors and all the provinces that I pass through, and so I'll have safe passage. And the king had his scribes write out the letters in every language that he would encounter. And he said, King, could I have a letter from you that I can give to the guy that keeps your forests, and he would be able to give me timber that I can use for building the gates? And the king had his scribes write letters. and say, you know, Nehemiah has my permission to have all the timber that he needs to build the gates of the city again. God was really at work. But there was something that was needed. What else was needed? Oh, workers. You mean God couldn't just reach down and set the wall back up and put the doors and the gates in it and all of that? Well, he could, couldn't he? But he didn't choose to do that. He chose to use people. God's at work in our day. In 2014, God is alive and well. Very much alive and well. The same God that he was in Nehemiah's time. He's operating under a different covenant with us, but he's the same God. And his heart is for the work to progress and for things to be accomplished for his glory. And one of the things, if you do some reading, you find out something that Nehemiah brought glory to God through his work and the people that worked with him. You don't have to read very long until you realize that. God was at work, Nehemiah was working with God, and God got glory. Now, 2014 is going to be a year of change for us as a congregation. Tom is planning to retire. We're looking for new leadership, and we're going to be working on that this year. There's going to be a lot of things happening, and I'm sure that that's one of the things we're planning on, but I'm sure there's a lot of unplanned things that are going to be happening this year as well. We don't know how many of us might enter into eternity this year. We don't know what all things come about us. But it's challenging for us to work together. I think it's important for us, and I trust that we can do that. Now, I wanted to just give us a timeline here, just real quickly. Our class on studying the Bible, we've been reading the book of Esther, and we looked at this a little bit this morning. But there's a lot of stuff happening when you look at Nehemiah. You've got Haggai and Zechariah prophesying there. You've got Ezra there working. He had already went back and built the temple, rebuilt the temple, and had done a lot of work there. You've got a lot of things. You've got Esther saving the people. And then Nehemiah and Ezra going back again. You notice, and by the way, just prior to this, you have the book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Kings, the kings of Israel and Judah and so on. You have the book of Ezekiel. You have the book of Daniel. You have a lot of these things happening right here in this period, this 150-year period of time. Why is there so much happening here? Why is God working in so many ways? The children of Israel are in captivity because of departing from God. Why are so many things happening? You see the last guy on the list there on the right? Malachi. Malachi is the last prophet to speak to the nation of the people of Israel, the Jews. After Malachi gave his message, there were 400 years of silence. No prophets, no word from God, nothing. God said, okay, I've come and talked to you over and over and over and over. I've sent all these prophets. I've done all these things. I've given you my message. There's only one thing left to do. Remember Jesus told the story about the man that had the vineyard? And he rented it out and he went to collect his rent. And they stoned the guys that went to collect the rent. They just really treated them bad, ran them off, all kinds of things. He said, there's one thing left to do. What was that one thing that man thought he would do to get his rent from the vineyard. He was going to send his son. He said, I'll send my son. He's the heir. They'll reverence him, right? You know, this is a picture. Jesus is telling us what happened by this story. He's telling us what happened here. There was this time between Malachi and Jesus coming. God said, okay, they've not listened to my prophecy. Given all this intense period of messages from the prophets to his people, said, listen, listen, listen. And they wouldn't listen. God said, okay, I'll send my son. That's what I'll do. And so there was that period of 400 years there. Now, the theme of Nehemiah is rebuilding or working together. And that's a good theme. It's a theme that we can take hold of. He was contemporary with Ezra, with Haggai, Zechariah, probably Malachi. He served under the Persian ruler Artaxerxes. And he returned to rebuild Jerusalem about 444 B.C. He was near the end of God's time of mercy on the nation of Judah. So that's some background. And we want to look at the book of Nehemiah today. And we want to draw some things for us. How can we work together? And so we want to ask, how important is it for God's people to work together? On a scale of 1 to 10, how important would you say it is for God's people to work together? 1 being not important, 10 being most important. 10. Oh, really? Well, then what's our problem? I didn't hear anybody say anything less than 10. It's important for God's people to work together to accomplish God's work. Oh. Really? We really think it's a 10. But he said something about me. He did something I didn't like. Oh, okay. You suppose that in Nehemiah's time, everybody was buddy-buddy and everything just happened just perfect? And the people got along just wonderful and the walls got rebuilt. No, afraid not. They were people just like we are. So how really? I think this is a question we need to ask ourselves, and we need to analyze, we need to decide, really, how important to me, not to anybody else, we know it's important to God, and we know it's important, but how important is it to me that God's people work together? What do we have to do to work together? What are some prerequisites? Everybody has to do things the way I want them done so I can work together with them. Everybody has to think like me so I can work together. Is that my prerequisite? What are some prerequisites for us to work together? Number one, we have to do God's work if we're going to work together for God, right? We have to do God's work. And we also have to lay aside our own work. You know what? When Nehemiah was going to do this thing, what happened to his job with the king? It was on hold or gone or whatever. You know, our work has to come in second place. That's a prerequisite if we're going to do God's work. That has to be first place, right? So if we're going to work together, we need to have some prerequisites there. What type of problem should we expect if we're going to work together? Let's be real. What type of problems should we expect?
Disagreements.
On what?
Okay, a good point. That's a good point.
Okay, attacks from the enemy. We should expect those. We should expect that a lot of things have come down, right? Things that are not good. We should expect that. There's going to be problems. You know what? We're people. How many of you here have no problems? None. Get my hand down. I can't be there. We all have problems, right? Okay. So if we all have problems and we all come together and we all bring our problems, then we got lots of problems, right? So we can expect lots of problems. Does that mean the work can't go on? Does that mean it's impossible? No. We've just got to be aware of these things. Does this stuff only apply to our congregation? Or is this something that applies only to people that agree with us doctrinally? Or is this something that goes around the world? The body of Christ. We've talked about this different times. Really, how does this impact me? That's the question that it boils down to. This thing of God's people working together, how does it affect me? Am I just sitting back, enjoying the ride, let the other people do the work, and everything's fine? Or am I doing the best I can with where God has called me to and what He's given to me? What kind of work does this include? We're talking about doing the work. We sang that song, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes." So that means that every waking hour, I'm going to be doing my farm. Every waking hour, I'm going to be doing my construction work. Every waking hour, I'm going to be work, work, work. No time for anything else. Is that what he's talking about? God's people working together. Does that just mean we each have our vocation and that's what we do with our lives and we come together on Sunday and we worship and that's what God really wanted us to do? Or is there more to it than that? Questions we need to ask ourselves. Okay, back in the time of David, this is from Chronicles, and this is David. The people there had a mind to work. They were going to build the temple. And David had decided he was going to get all the stuff together so it would really make it easy for Solomon. And he asked the people, he said, "Who's willing to consecrate their service to the Lord?" And then he asked them, "Who's willing to offer your things to the Lord?" And you know what? You remember what happened when David did that? David finally had to say, "Whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. We have way more stuff than we're ever going to use to build the temple. Stop." That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Say, "Oh, we have this need over here." People just start bringing and say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 what?" And then it says, "Hey, that's too much." Doesn't usually work that way, does it? Any of you that have served on any kind of a mission board, you know that it's a continual challenge to keep people helping and keep the needs met on a regular basis. I don't know of any, have any of you served on any kind of a mission situation where you had to send out a message to people, "Stop, we got too much"? No. But there's one thing here we have to remember, and David remembered that. Everything we have received. And so whatever we give to the Lord is His anyway. We're just giving it back to Him. What are we doing with what we keep? Is it ours? No.
That's his too. And we'll have to give account for it. Now, I want you to understand something. Not working together results in ruin. And you'll see that these verses are from the book of Nehemiah. And they're really to the point, very clear. The problem that happened was with the nation of Israel and Judah, they had let the walls, Jerusalem lieth waste, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Picture that wall, trash, burned. Even stones have a way of burning when there's enough fire. They disintegrate and so on. It says, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem that we be no more of a reproach. When God's people don't work together in God's work, it brings reproach to them and to God. People were making fun of the God of Israel because of the condition of Jerusalem. Their God wasn't big enough. Their God wasn't strong enough. Their God was not able. Well, that wasn't the case at all. And Israel knew that. The problem was, you read what Nehemiah and Ezra talk about, and they say, it's because of our sins, because of us departing from God, that all of these things have happened. Now, to do the work properly, we need vision and the presence of God Himself. Nehemiah went to the king, and the king gave his approval to this project. And then Nehemiah went to the elders and the people around him, and he said, you know what? God is at work. God's at work. And he shared with them what was on his heart. I want to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. I need people to go with me. I need help. The good hand of God upon me. We need the vision and the presence of God Himself with us if we're going to properly do the work. Not everybody's going to help. Sorry. If our goal is to make sure that everybody's helping, we might as well forget it. It's interesting, when I was reading here in Nehemiah, the Tekoites, they were building one part of the wall. But what do you see? But their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Their nobles did their own thing. They went off on their own, doing their own stuff. They wouldn't help. Not everybody's going to help. You might have a word from the Lord. You might have a vision. You might have people that are with you. But don't be surprised if there are people that aren't with you. We can expect that. Nehemiah found that in his day. Somebody would despise us. Nehemiah prayed to God. He said, oh God, hear us. We're despised. There's people that are looking down on us that think that the work we're doing is stupid, is useless, is meaningless, that we ought to be using our time and effort for something else. There's going to be hindrances within and without. There's never been a work of God that I'm aware of that hasn't met with hindrances. And often those hindrances come from within. Now, it's one thing for the people that are not God's people to hinder a work. It's another thing for God's own people to hinder the work that God's doing. Both happen in the case of Nehemiah. There were hindrances. Nehemiah, there were some of them sent, some of the people there sent and said, come on down, we want to talk to you. We want to have a meeting about all this. We'd like to see how we can help and all of this. And Nehemiah said, sorry, I've got too much to do. I don't have time for this meeting. You're lying, Angel. And he said, he just knew that there were going to be hindrances and he was prepared for that. And he was able to go on with the work in spite of that. We have to have God's strength to do the work.
the message came to Nehemiah. There's a group of people in the area that are gathering together. They're getting an army together. And they're going to come up and they're going to attack. And they're going to put an end to this work. And Nehemiah heard about this and he said, "Oh Lord, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands." I really pondered that when I thought about that. Lord, strengthen. Why didn't he say strengthen my heart? Why didn't he say strengthen my mind, strengthen my spirit? He said, "Lord, strengthen my hands." Why did he say that? Because that's the work he was doing, and his work of building the wall needed the strength of his hands. Lord, strengthen my hands. We must have God's strength, and I think that it's important for us. There's fears that come. God, strengthen my courage. There's doubts that come. God, strengthen my faith. We need to pray according to our needs, where we're at. And God's there to meet that. And it's interesting, if you read this story, Nehemiah prayed, "God, strengthen my hands." And we'll see what happened in a bit. When we work with God, our enemies will understand the truth. These guys were standing up and they were bound and determined that these walls were not going to be built. Some of the governors and the people around the area there. Because they knew what this had to do with. And they were going to keep it from happening. There was a bigger picture that was going on here. And we have to realize that. Satan did not want this to be done. And so he had his people that were working to oppose it. But you see what happened? All of a sudden, when Nehemiah was working with God and God's people were working with God, then those around that were opposing, that were under the influence of Satan, they perceived this work was of God. Oh, that changed the picture, didn't it? Didn't change their minds. But it changed the picture. They saw. They could see something supernatural was happening here. Something bigger than the people of Israel. Something more than what met their eyes. Here's the promise. I am with you. That's what gives us strength for the work. We talked about this a few weeks ago. God's promise, I am with you. Here's Haggai. Remember, I said Haggai was contemporary of Nehemiah. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. I'm with you. And the Lord, through that, stirred up the spirit of the governor and the high priest and the remnant of the people, and they came and did the work in the house of the Lord. This was a little bit before what was happening with Nehemiah. But it's a promise. I am with you. You guys take that with you to Detroit. I am with you. That's God's promise. And when we do God's work, we need that promise. Because there are problems. There are hindrances. There are doubts. There are fears. There are questions. But we've got to hold on to that truth. I am with you. Even to the end of the world. That's a promise that has become so real to me and so dear. The work is enormous, but each one doing their part brings it to completion. You read the story here, he describes what happened. Over in this part of the wall, there was a certain group of people working. In this part of the wall, there was another group of people working. In this part of the wall, another group. In this part, another group. And all these people were working. All doing the work of building the wall, all working together. I don't know what you think when you look at that big picture of the wall of Jerusalem.
But if I look at that and I think about trying to repair that wall by hand, I get pretty discouraged. I'd say, you know what? I'm not sure it's worth it. But when we each do our part, it's amazing what can happen. Confession and worship are important aspects of the work. In Nehemiah, I want you to notice something here. There you go, Scott. They read in the book of the law of their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part of the day they confess. How long do you think you could confess? Are we too good to confess? Do we have any issues? A 1/4 part of the day they confess. If we take a 12-hour day, how long is it? 3 hours. They read it in the law 3 hours. They confessed 3 hours and worshiped the Lord their God. There's some meat there. Take that and chew on it a while. There's some real meat there. They're such important parts of the work. And I bless you in that, Scott. I'm not going to take the time to go to this scripture here, but one of the things we need to remember is the past is not unimportant. We need the past to put our work in perspective. And Nehemiah was able to look back, and he was able to see what had happened with the children of Israel. And through that, he was able to continue to resolve. Now look, here's what happened. I said each one doing their part has amazing results, right? The wall was finished in 52 days. 52 days. Does that look possible to you? To repair a wall like that in 52 days? Not with big machinery, with people and handwork. Armies had destroyed it. They had destroyed that wall to the extent that it would not protect the people. That's how badly it was destroyed. And there was, if you read there in Nehemiah, there was rubble everywhere from the destruction. They burned the gates with fire. They did everything they could to make it impossible for this city to be dwelled in again. So it wasn't some piece of cake where, and by the way, if you read there in Nehemiah, they were out working under the stars. I mean, they were working to get this done. 52 days. Imagine what can be done when God's people work together for the glory of God. Here's some promises that we have to work with. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding. That's just being intense in the work of the Lord. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What was the due season for building the wall? 52 days. Most due seasons are not that short. Most of us are going to labor a lifetime until we see the reward, in many cases. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you've showed toward His name, and that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke,
in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. You see how this all ties together? We're not out here working on our own. We're workers together with Christ. We're working together with Christ for God. We're working together to make God's name great. We're working together to bring the word of life to a world that's lost and dying without hope and in darkness. The job is enormous. It's enormous. When you stop and think of the millions of people that have never heard the gospel, you'd almost throw up your hands and say, it's too huge. But when we all work together, the job is doable. When we each do our part, the job is doable. And if we all put our necks to the work, not be like those nobles that wouldn't put their necks to the work, when we all put our necks to the work, the job will be completed. A little children's song that some of us know at least, and I'd like for us to sing that as we close. Let's stand together for prayer. Just a reminder, we do need all the help that we can get for singing after the meal. Lord, we thank You. We thank You that it's Your work. We thank You that You have included us in Your work, that we're laborers together with Christ. That's such a humbling thing, such a motivating thing to think of the fact that You have put us to work alongside of our Lord Jesus Christ, the One who died for us. And Lord, I pray that You put in each of our hearts a mind to work, Your work, eternal work, the work of seeing souls come into the kingdom, the work of seeing Your people build up, Your name exalted, that many, many, Lord, might gather round a throne throughout eternity to praise Your name. Impress on each of our hearts, dear Lord, what our part is, what our work is, what Your plan is, that we might work with You. We pray Your special blessing on Scott's and Daryl's, Lord, as they undertake this work, that Your Spirit go before them, prepare the way, prepare the hearts, Lord, that people might see that it's the hand of God upon them, O Lord. And I pray for us as a congregation, as we go through this year of change and transition, I pray that people might see as well Your good hand upon us, and that Your name could be exalted as well, that people might see that it's because of Your working in our lives. So we praise You. We pray Your blessing upon the food and our time of fellowship and the singing, the play practice this afternoon, dear Lord, for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. When we all work together.